Thank you, April. We're talking sporting upsets. Best caller or texter? Is that what I say, Fletch? Texter? Anyway, 0457 736 736 to text in or call 1300 01 1170. Sorry to jump in there. I know how much you love doing the numbers.
No, it's fine.
You can do it later on. We've got a couple on the list here, the text line. Big sporting upset. Stephen Bradbury, Winter Olympics 2002, when all the other fellas fell over. That's pretty funny. Zig from Armidale, thank you for that, mate. And none bigger than Uruguay beating Brazil at the 1950 World Cup final in front of 200,000 at the Maracanã in Rio. 200,000 people in the one ground. Yeah. And the Brazilians still view that as a national day of mourning.
Do they?
Mm. All because of a football match. Anyway, away it goes. Ben Damon's here from Main Event. He's looking forward to the fights tonight in Sydney. Paul Gallen, Justice Swinney. Big time on Main Event because we've got the Tim Zhu fight in less than a month and plenty happening around the world with some of our boxers on the rise. And Ben, you can chime in now, first up, if you want, with your biggest upset. We had a couple early on saying the Buster Douglas fight in Tokyo in the early 90s. Is that probably the biggest one in boxing you can think of or something else?
No, I think it is. Like, given the status of Mike Tyson at that time, everyone just thought he was unbeatable and he was just mowing everyone down. And James Buster Douglas was, a bit fat and didn't seem to care too much. And then he just developed all that inspiration with the death of his mother and battered Mike Tyson. So I think that's got to be it. But in an Australian sense, Jeff Horn beating Manny Pacquiao was a good one.
Oh, yes. What a day that was.
We enjoyed that. That's for sure. He was a big price too. He was a massive outsider. The Yanks gave him absolutely no chance, as you could hear from their coverage. but there'd be another big upset tonight if Gal can do this. He's still about $5 in betting to win the fight. He's $9.50 or so to knock out Justice Hooney. It would be a massive upset. When you look at the two of them and their boxing pedigrees, it'd be huge.
Spenny, I was going to ask you that. So Justice Hooney, this is his only... He's only had four professional fights before this, am I correct?
Yeah, four fights. He's won them all. He stopped three opponents, and the last of them was just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so, but he's had like, I don't know quite, I mean, has he had like 80 or 100 amateur fights? Like something, a huge amount. What?
Yeah, he's had a huge amount of amateur experience, whereas Paul Gallen had no amateur boxing career. So he's had 12 fights in total, 12 professional bouts. Justice Hooney's only new as a professional, but he's been boxing since he was a six-year-old boy or something, whereas Gal has obviously got into it very, very late.
Yeah, and so Justice Hooney, his goal is to become an Olympian. That's why he hasn't gone professional, because what is the rule? How many fights can you have as a professional and
you
still
can have up to
10.
So they changed it for the Rio Games. You can now have up to 10 professional fights and still compete at the Olympic Games. When he went to the World Championships a couple of years ago, he finished up with a bronze medal. The fellow who won gold had a bunch of professional fights. So they thought, with the delay for the Tokyo Games, maybe we should give him some professional experience and it might help him as an amateur and start to, you know, make that journey as a professional, because it was proving very, very difficult for him with COVID to get any amateur fights, because there's just not that many people he can compete against here in Australia, and he couldn't travel. So they essentially used this early part of his professional career as a warm-up to the Olympic Games, and that's their big goal, is to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games. But in the meantime, he's become an Australian heavyweight champion on debut, and now in his fifth fight, he's fighting against Paul Gallen as a main event pay-per-view headline act. So it's all happening very, very fast, but that's the sort of ability that he has and the sort of future that they believe that he will have. So it's all very quick, and whether he's ready for it in terms of his maturity when he gets into the ring, we just don't know, but it does appear that he's got all the skills to do it.
So, Ben, today, obviously trash talk, it always happens, and it's been going on, and you've been at the weigh-ins and at the press conferences, and you've heard it all, and the promoters chiming in, but today there was a little twist. Not seen this video a couple of months ago, but it was a private video going around, so I didn't want to share it really publicly. It was Justice getting whacked and getting knocked out in a spa a few months ago. Why has this all of a sudden surfaced on the day of the fight?
I don't know, but it wasn't by design, certainly not mine anyway, but it's come out via various channels today. It came out on Sunday as well in a couple of places, but yeah, it's something that's been doing the rounds since pretty much the day it happened. I saw it around that time. He does take a really good shot. He goes down hard. They called off the spar afterwards. He did get back up, but they called off the spar afterwards. And afterwards, it did emerge that he had a bit of a drama, went out having a couple of beers with some mates. He had a blue. Someone whacked him then as well. So then he turned up to sparring a little bit later and he got whacked. And then they said, okay, something's going on here. He said, yeah, I did have this little incident a couple of weeks ago as well. So they took him and had concussion tests and all that sort of stuff. And they said, all right, we're pulling him out of his next fight. He's gonna recover and wait around. And they did that. He's come back since. He's had two professional fights since. He's looked all good. But it's come out probably interesting timing. The Gowan camp would like it, I think, that Justice would know that is now very much in the public forum, how that impacts him. I spoke to him about it on the Main Event Boxing podcast and other places, and he went into detail about the sparring incident, and he said, look, I'm fine with the fact that it's happened. Everyone's seen me get dropped now, and it's good to get that out of the way, but I haven't been impacted by it. I'm all good. It's something that happens in sparring, and it most certainly is. People do get dropped in sparring all the time, but as a heavyweight, people will want to tell you that if you're getting dropped like that, then maybe you're a bit chinny, and that's what they'll say about him. But he seems okay with it. But Gal will take a little bit of confidence that he can drop him if he hits him.
So, Benny, is the reason that Justice Hooney's fighting Gal, is it purely money? Is that the only reason that he would risk? I know you were saying Gal's an outsider at $5, but basically Gal's undefeated and he's coming in. Isn't it a risk for Justice Hooney to be taken on Gal so close to the Olympics?
Yeah, it's a massive risk. It's a huge risk that he had that fight 3 weeks ago, and it's a risk that he's having this fight now. But what they're trying to do is build up the star of Justice Hooney. So the idea being, if he gets in a fight like this and beats Paul Gowan, then he goes off to the Olympic Games, wins a gold medal, comes back, has a rematch with Paul Gowan and wins again, and suddenly he's a superstar, isn't he? So they're just having a big punt, and they hope it all goes their way. But there's certainly a lot of risks, especially when Gal's saying things like, I'm going to break your face so you can't go to the Olympic Games, which is what he said at the press conference a couple of days ago.
Good role model, Paul Gowan, in that respect. Fantastic. Just want your kids to be emulate whatever Gal said. Honestly, heart of hearts, how do you call it, Ben? Is it one of those that there's too much unknown on both sides to really get a definitive call on it, or do you see it clearly?
I think Gal charges like he did against Lucas Brown and tries to get it done early. He wants to catch him cold. Maybe the bright lights get to Justice Hooney, all that trash talk gets to him. He probably wants to get out there and test out his chin early and close the distance. But if Justice Hooney can box and keep Gal on the end of his punches and pick him off when he tries to get in tight, because he's a bigger man, he's got longer arms, if he can pick him off on the way in, then it's going to be a really rough night for Paul Gowan. So I think that Justice Hooney should win the fight. Like, he deserves to be a heavy favourite. I wouldn't be surprised if it does go the distance, which is a really good value bet at the moment. But otherwise, maybe we get to see just how tough Paul Gowan is towards the end of this fight, and if his corner and the referee let him keep going on, if he is getting picked off on the way in.
Will there be any sausage roll eating before the fight, do you think? Like, after what we saw Big Danny Brown hoeing into?
It was a brilliant moment. He was eating an oat bar, like an energy bar. But yes, it was described as being a sausage roll on the coverage. So that's what everyone went with. Not by me. So I'm all good there. But yeah, he didn't like that because he was eating an energy bar, which they all tend to eat in the dressing room beforehand. But it did look like a service station sausage roll. So he's got to wear that. But I think having a look at how Lucas Brown turned up in that fight, he probably had a few sausage rolls in the build up to it regardless. So he just thought he was going to turn up, and his power would be too good for Paul Gowan. He'd knock him out. But as it turned out, it went the other way around. So, no snag rolls tonight.
One last one. The televised portion of the undercard is always a bit of fun. Give us one name to keep an eye on, a dynamite fighter or someone who's a bit out there that's going to provide a bit of colour for the undercard.
There's a couple of blokes who are really out there, actually, on this undercard. You would have seen at the weigh-in yesterday, a lot of carry-on. Well, in the third to last bout, there's a fella, a Russian Kiwi called Andrei Mikhailovich, who's full of personality, a really interesting fighter. He's in a good fight too against Alex Hannon. And then you may have seen Isaac Hardman fight before. He was out a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago on that Justice Hooney undercard, and he's a really good character, and he's in a good fight for a world ranking against Emmanuel Carlos. So I'll keep an eye on those two, a couple of really good characters who should not only perform well, but should have interesting ring interviews as well afterwards.
Beauty, Ben. Look forward to the main event coverage tonight. What time does it start? 6, 7?
7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So five fights in total. all culminating, of course, in the heavyweight bout between Justice Hooney and Paul Gallen.
Benny, just before you go, when the announcer says seconds down, what does that mean?
The seconds are those in the corner, so it's seconds out of the ring. His team get out of the ring, so seconds down.
Seconds down, gotcha. So it's the trainer's assistant.
Get out, because they've got to be out by the time that the bell rings for the next round. Gotcha. So it's just getting him out of there so we can roll along.
Brian Fletcher asking the questions that really make this radio show the College of Knowledge.
Well, Ben Damon. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. No. I'm not taking the piss.
I thought you are.
I'm not.
Benny's
good question. Good question. Good answer,
Ben. Your main trainer, will be called your chief second.
Okay.
Chief second, and then the second is...
Chief second. And then you can have a second if you'd like, but I don't think it's referred to as that. But, seconds down, meaning trainers down, and away we go.
So Mickey was the chief second.
He was the chief second, yeah. He was
and
the chief
what was
second.
Paulie?
And the cut man.
What was Paulie, the big fat with butt?
He would have been an assistant, and they should have had a cut man there as well, but Mickey did his own cuts.
That's right.
As you could tell when he cut me, Mick.
Cut me, Mick. Oh, I can forget that.
Ben Damon, thank you for joining us and heightening our knowledge in the art of pugilism. And have a good night, mate. Look forward to the coverage.
All right. Beauty. Enjoy the fight. See you, fellas.
See you, Benny.
Dane from Yowie Bay is chiming in with some sporting upsets, and we've got a few more on the text line to get through. Before we go to a break here on Joel and Fletch with Adam Peacock standing in for Joel, Dane, what do you got for us, mate?
Look, fellas, I've been sent down to Melbourne. They just... put me through to Melbourne. I don't know who's running your board there, your switchboard, but he must be smoking some pretty heavy Cheech and Chongs. So anyway, I finally got you guys in Sydney.
Yeah, but hang on, Dave. Did you get to speak to Bob and Andy? Please tell me you did.
It made me feel sick, so I had to hang up.
You should have just played them the Oscar music.
Anyway, look, I'm glad that I got through, but the biggest upset of all time, the man who did highlight tips a favour and a little tickler, Stephen Bradbury,
yes.
The last man standing. That has to take the cake.
It's very damn close, because he was dead set 4,000-1 in a five-man field in that final of the short track speed skating in Utah 2002. Dane, thank you for that. Very good call. Very good call. We've got a few more here. Horse called Upset beating an undefeated horse called Man of War. All those years ago in America. That one's from Maddie from Cali.
Is in California?
California Games, your favourite video game. The defeat of Uruguay, as bad as the 7-1 defeat Brazil had against Germany in their own World Cup semi-final in 2014. I was there that day. Not at the ground, but in Brazil. The next day, the front page of the paper was just black. The front page. That's all they put on the front page.
Didn't that happen with the All Blacks too when they got...
I think so, yeah. When they got beaten in one of those World Cups before they got good again. Anyway, keep them coming through. The sporting upsets. We're off to a quick break. Back in a moment. And by the way, Trent Robinson has had a big go at Victor Radley. We're going to play that later in the show as well.